This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Good afternoon and welcome to the reading of the Bond County News. For this, the week of April 7th, 2024. The program is being brought to you by the Mind's Eye in Belleville. County Board announces openings on Smithboro FPD. BT, two openings on the Smithboro Fire Protection District Board of Trustees were announced at the April 2nd meeting of the Bond County Board. Jan Watts and Larry Watts are being recommended for reappointment. At the meeting, the minutes from the March 20th meeting were approved. During public comment, a representative from Langham Auctions approached the board to offer their services. Also, during public comment, another individual expressed some concerns they had about the county budget passed in October of 2023. That budget was passed unanimously by the board. The matter of a tornado siren at Governor Bond Lake was discussed briefly. It's being budgeted for by the city of Greenville at approximately $50,000. The city has asked if the county is willing to split the cost. If the city and county were to split the cost, each entity would pay around $25,000. But no decision has been made yet. The county board also discussed an amendment to the county liquor license. Right now, the total amount of licenses available are taken. If a new business wants to apply for one of the ordinance would have to be amended to include more licenses. No action was taken at the meeting. A request to use the courthouse lawn for the National Day of Prayer was approved for May 2, 2024 at noon. Larry Seuss and Denny William were appointed to the Greenville Airport Authority Board. They will both serve five-year terms expiring April 2, 2029. Brian Wye was appointed to the ETS board to complete the term of retiring Chief of Police Stephen Neese. The term will expire on January 1 of 2027. The next meeting will be April 16th at 7 p.m. in the Bond County Courthouse. Outdoor safety tips. The year has been progressing steadily, and we have reached that time in the weather cycle where the mornings are chilly, the afternoons are warm. From here on out, the weather will only get warmer and people will be spending more time outside. After being inside most of the winter, it feels good to get out in the sunshine. All that vitamin D that gets absorbed into your body can be beneficial. However, too much sun exposure can be harmful. Everything from sunburn to heat stroke are things that need to be considered when being outdoors in the summer and spring. This doesn't mean you should never go outside, but rather when you do, take precautions to keep yourself and others safe. Sunscreen. You've probably seen this popping up on shelves at your local grocery store. According to the American Academy of Dermatology, the best types of sunscreen are broad spectrum because they protect against UVA and UVB rays. You also want something that is SPF 30 or higher and is water resistant. For most adults, it takes about 1 ounce of sunscreen to cover the areas of your body not covered by clothing. It's best to apply sunscreen about 15 minutes before you go outside. Make sure you apply sunscreen to areas such as the tops of your feet and ears, as well as your arms and legs, and reapply around every 2 hours. Water consumption. When outside working in the heat, it's important that you stay sufficiently hydrated. Becoming dehydrated can lead to threatening illness and also poor work performance. According to the CD Centers for Disease Control, to stay hydrated, it's best to drink water before you go outside to work, and at least one cup of water every 15 to 20 minutes. This does not mean you have to gulp down a cup of water every quarter hour. Taking drinks at intervals helps you stay hydrated. Your goal is to drink 3/4 to 1 quart of water every hour, says the CDC. There are several conditions to watch for when working in the heat for extended periods. These conditions include heat stroke, heat exhaustion, heat cramps, sunburn, and heat rash. A heat stroke is a medical emergency, and if you or someone with you is believed to be experienced one, call 911 right away. According to the CDC, these are the signs you should look for. Body temperature over 103, dry, hot, red, or damp skin, fast and strong pulse, headache, dizziness, nausea, confusion, and passing out. Similar to a heat stroke is heat exhaustion, which presents some of the same symptoms. For heat exhaustion, move to a cool place, loosen clothing, place cool, wet cloths on your person, or take a cool bath. If the person is vomiting, the symptoms are worsening, or they last longer than an hour, seek medical attention. Symptoms to look for: heavy sweating, cold, pale, and clammy skin, fast, weak pulse, nausea or vomiting, muscle cramps, tiredness or weakness, dizziness, headache, passing out. If you're working outside and you or someone with you is experiencing these symptoms or similar symptoms, stop working and get to a cool place. If symptoms are severe or rare or are not improving, call to 911. What to wear outside? Oddly enough, wearing dark-colored clothing outside can protect you more than light-colored clothing. The AAD states that a long-sleeved denim shirt will provide about 1,700 SPF, while a white T-shirt only gives about 7. This being said, you also want to make sure that the dark colors you are wearing are lightweight material, not made of fleece or similar material, designed for winter weather. A wide-brim hat and sunglasses offer additional protection from the sun. The hat will keep the sun off your face and neck, while the sunglasses offer UV protection for your eyes. Shoes are also an important form of protection from the sun. In the summer, people love sandals and even go barefoot. If you are doing those things, make sure you apply sunscreen to the tops of your feet to prevent burning. If you're working outside, it's best to have shoes that cover your feet, according to the AAD. In working outside, if you have a lot of work to do outside, let's say you're gardening, breaking up the work will help to prevent you from getting overheated. It can also be beneficial if you work earlier in the morning and later in the evening when the sun is not at its highest point. These times are generally cooler than the rest of the day. Monitor your local weather stations and watch for heat advisories. If it's going to be too hot, staying inside would be advisable. De Moulin Museum wins state awards. The De Moulin Museum has received 2 awards from the Illinois Association of Museums, including one of its top honors for Gina Goldsmith. During the IAM annual award ceremony, Gina Goldsmith was named Volunteer of the Year, and the De Moulin Museum's coloring book received an award of merit in the printed materials category. In announcing Goldsmith's recognition, Debbie Fandry, awards committee chair, said, "We're very impressed by the nomination that your museum sent in and are pleased to honor her in this way." In this, his nomination letter, Jeff Lytle, museum board vice president, wrote, "We all know the success of a small business or of a small museum is contingent upon a strong force of volunteers. The De Moulin Museum has this. Gina has been involved in organizing volunteer crews for multiple fundraisers and events each year. It's no doubt that her relationship with the museum volunteers make them want to be part of the museum and its events. Rebecca Clausen, one of the museum volunteers, wrote in her nomination letter, "We want to volunteer for her, knowing the upcoming events will be a fun time, a delicious time, a time where the reward comes not as a coin but as a knowledge that we've met a new volunteer, reconnected with a returning volunteer, learned a fresh nugget of DeMolin Brother factory history, and contributed to keeping a homegrown tour destination open." John Coleman, Bond County Historical Society's treasurer, wrote, "A big reason so many of the activities that she helps with are successful is because she has a unique way of making visitors, contributors, and other volunteers feel valued and appreciated." Cindy Tischauer, Bond County Genealogy Society president, commended Goldsmith for tirelessly planning, organizing, and working several fundraisers a year for the DeMolin Museum. Tischauer added, "I have worked several of these with Gina, and she's kind and patient." Accepting her Volunteer of the Year award, Goldsmith told those attending the online ceremony, "Being a volunteer in my community is a great privilege. I take pride in what I do, whether it's planning a fundraiser or guiding tours at the DeMolin Museum, to giving my time or talent in baking a pie for another local museum fundraiser. As you might imagine, I couldn't do that, what I do, without the help of many of the volunteers I help recruit. It gives me great joy working with them and seeing our hard work pay off, so kudos to them too." The DeMolin Museum's coloring book was released in January of 2023. A grant from Southeast Western Electric Cooperative Operation Roundup Program provided critical seed money to launch the project. The creation of the coloring book was a collaborative effort by museum staff and the creative team at NACO Printing in Greenville. While the booklet was intended for younger visitors to the museum, it's become equally popular with adults who want a souvenir of their visit. The Illinois Association of Museums' selection of the coloring book for its Award of Merit for Printed Materials is acknowledgement of the importance of small museums forging partnerships. The DeMolin Museum, located at 205 South Prairie Street in Greenville, tells the story of DeMolin Brothers and Company, its founders, employees, and unique products. The museum is open Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and by appointment. Here's the upcoming week's menu, starting with Friday for the Senior Center. For reservations, please call 618-664-1465 no later than 9 a.m. to make or cancel reservations. Congregate meals, 11:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. Home delivery Monday, Friday. 2% milk is served with every meal. Friday, the 12th was chicken and noodles, California blend, puttered peas and roll, and grapes. For Monday the 15th, baked ham, green bean casserole, mashed potatoes and gravy, and cinnamon applesauce. Tuesday the 16th, spaghetti and meatballs, tomatoes and zucchini, corn, garlic bread sticks, and fruit cocktail. And Wednesday the 17th, pork burger on a bun, fixins, lima beans with bacon, waffle fries, and banana. White Crane lunches, White Crane Business Express lunch special will be available Wednesday. Please call fax your choices by noon on the Tuesday preceding the Wednesday delivery. You may choose to enjoy your lunch at the center in our dining room, pick it up, or have your lunch delivered by a volunteer who shares your desire to support the program. Contact information is email nutrition.spec@bondseniors.org. The fax number is 618-664-1478. The phone is 618-664-1465. And on April 17th, it'll be bacon blitz sandwich, smoked turkey piled with bacon, top with a slice of cheddar cheese on a pretzel roll, with sun-dried tomato spread with a mini Greek side salad. A Greek salad, cucumber, red onion, grape tomatoes, olives, and feta cheese tossed in a vinegar Greek dressing, bread accompaniment, and seasoned spread. And chocolate chip cookies. Here are your obituaries this week. Susanna Marcella Fink passed away in San Luis Obispo, California on February the 20th. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, April 13th at 1 p.m. at the Donald Wigan Funeral Home in Greenville. Burial will be in the Montrose Cemetery. Brian S. Battaglia, 50, of Greenville and Pocahontas, died on the 6th of April. Services for Brian will be tonight at 7 p.m. at the Donald Wigan Funeral Home. Ruth Huber, 86, of Sereno, died on the 2nd. A private burial will be held at the New Douglas Cemetery at a later date. Charles Hanner, 74, of Greenville, died on the 2nd, and a family-hosted celebration of life will be held at a later date. Iris Long, 86, of Greenville, died on March 29th. Funeral services were held Monday, April the 8th, at 11 a.m. at the Columbus Baptist Church near Keysport. Burial followed in Taylor Cemetery in Pittsburgh. Stephen Dale Borwick, 79, of Greenville, died March 27th. A public service will be held at the Greenville Free Methodist Church with the date to be announced. And Leslie Lessie Mullen of Coffeen passed away on the 6th of April. Funeral services were Friday, April the 12th at 1 p.m. at the Toberman Dean Funeral Home in Coffeen. Military rights at graveside by the Department of Defense. And he was to be buried in the Union Grove Cemetery in Bond County. And that is all the obituaries. Citywide yard sales April 19th and 20th. April 19th and 20th will be the citywide yard sales for Greenville. The event is open to all city residents. There will be maps available showing all the yard sales that have been registered around the city. There is no cost to be included on the map. However, a registration form must be picked up from Greenville Municipal Building or the Greenville Public Library. The form must be returned by April 17th at 8 a.m. to be included on the map. A form can be downloaded from greenvilleillinois.com. Maps will be available beginning April 18th at the Greenville Municipal Building or the Greenville Police Department. Spring Cleanup Week, April 22nd through the 26th, will be Spring Cleanup Week. You can stack items neatly on the curb, but not sooner than a week prior to your regular trash pickup day. Your regularly scheduled trash pickup day is when the items will be collected. Items that will not be collected include batteries, major construction materials, landscape waste, tires, banned electronics, oil, or paint. For more information, call the City of Greenville at 618-664-1644. Representative Wilhauer Traveling Office Hours. The next Traveling Office Hours, hosted by State Representative Blaine Wilhauer, Republican from Beecher City, will be That was on April the 10th. Public Health Week started on April 1. That comes up to mind when you think of public health. Is it mental health or substance use? If not, it should. Bond County Health Department houses Prairie Counseling Center. Prairie Counseling Center is a community mental health center that provides mental health and substance use services to persons age 6 and over. Prairie Counseling Center takes the health of its community members seriously and believes that good health does not just mean physical health. It means mental health as well. Often when mental health is discussed, it is shadowed in stigma. It takes a conviction in relationships to break down the stigma. Prairie Counseling Center staff have made great strides in the programs it provides for the community, but they've not done it alone. PCC has had the privilege to work closely with many agencies, including Chestnut Health Systems, Bond County Recovery Council, and other community service providers. In 2022, Prairie Counseling was awarded the Building Bridges Award. In 2022, Prairie Counseling Center began to build relationships with other community organizations, including Bond County Schools, Greenville Police, and Bond County Sheriff's Department. Chief Stephen Neese and Chief Deputy Josh Hill have been instrumental in building these relationships. They've made the mental health of the community as important as physical health. A school resource officer was implemented at BCCU No. 2 with the collaboration of Chief Neese, Terry Swally, and other school administrators. Chief Deputy Hill continues to work to implement the SRO at BCCU No. 1 as well. Chief Deputy Hill has worked very closely with Prairie Counseling staff to implement many new programs to assist the residents in the county. With the passing of 988 for mental health crisis, Chief Deputy Hill has made sure that PCC staff are able to respond safely with county deputies whenever the county, whether in the county, a mental health or substance use crisis occurs. This partnership has helped bring treatment to individuals in crisis. The options aim to reduce reported calls by reaching toward the root of the crisis and more lasting positive outcome. PCC's substance use services have been expanded in Bond County related to the collaborative efforts of Chief Deputy Hill and other community partners, including Chestnut Hill Systems and Bond County Recovery Council. Any person detained at Bond County Jail can receive virtual substance use services while in jail, with the hope that they will continue with treatment after release to get needed treatment. Chief Deputy Hill also made arrangements to provide PCC with information regarding overdose. PCC can respond within 24 hours to residents within the county with life-saving Narcan, without the emphasis and priority placed on collaboration by local law enforcement like Chief Neese and Chief Deputy Hill. These services would not be provided. Increased communication across our county agencies has greatly expanded our problem-solving capacity. We at PCC have seen the positive impact of these interagency dialogues in the lives of our clients and community members. Chief Neese and Chief Deputy Hill have also made other officers available to provide training to PCC and BCHD staff. They work together to train not only our public health department, but our schools and other businesses in violence protection or prevention, self-defense, and safety, including coordinating and completing active shooter drills. As we celebrate Public Health Week, Prairie Counseling Center not only recognizes amazing staff, but the entire staff at Bond County Health Department. We also want to recognize that we cannot protect and prioritize the importance of the health of the public without the efforts and collaboration of others such as Chief Neese in the Greenville Police Department and Chief Deputy Hill in the Bond County Sheriff's Department. Happy Public Health Week. Together we are making a difference. That is all the time that we have for the reading of the Bond County News. Here's hoping you have a great upcoming week. And remember, the program was brought to you by the Bynes Eye in Belleville. And we will see you here next Saturday at the same time.